Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for making us victorious, glory to God, in your name, Lord. We pray and declare that Deuteronomy 28:7, y'all remember it. The Lord will cause our enemies, those who rise against us, to be defeated before our face, glory to God. And they shall come against us one way and flee before us seven ways. Praise God for everyone. We have the victory. We praise you for it, Father. The enemy can't do anything to us because our God's bigger. Glory to God. He is not only bigger, he's given us the tools to come against the enemy. When he shut down the winds and the seas, the winds and seas before us are smoothed out, glory to God, and we thank you for it, but with just a word. That word is Jesus, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We don't have to do anything but just speak the word, and the enemy is defeated, and I praise you for it, Father, and have that faith. Have that faith that you've already given us, that measure of faith that we need to move a mountain, and we praise you for it, Father, that it is done. Glory be to God. We come against the enemy that has been coming against our fellowship, and we cast down every curse spoken against us as null and void. Not only that, we thank you, Father, that there will be no more curses spoken against this fellowship and the people in it, in Jesus' name, in the outreach and in the locals, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for the victory. Glory to God, glory to God. We cast everything down that's not of God out of this fellowship. Communications are going to be perfect tonight in Jesus' name. Not only that, the word is going to go forth and the enemy is defeated. And I praise you, Father, for doing everything that we've asked this day. And there's been a lot of praying going on, and we praise you for it, Father. Lord, we praise and thank you for all of these meetings that you've given us. And I ask tonight that you lead us, Holy Spirit, that you lead us into the things that you want us to do. And I praise you and glorify you, Father. Everybody that needs a healing will get healing tonight. And we praise you for it. We declare and decree it because your word says it. And if your word says it, bless God, it's true. And we thank you for it, Father. All we have to do is reach and grab it. Praise God. And I thank you, Lord, that provisions are already here in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that the enemy has been defeated. And not only that, there's supernatural happenings in the atmosphere that is just astounding, Lord, the things that you're allowing your people to experience now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, there's not going to be any exception in this fellowship either. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I want to tell you a little bit of something that happened Wednesday. We had an awesome, awesome prayer time. The angels showed up. They started coming in about 15 minutes before we started. And they filled the room. Not only that, they went outside and they were all over the yard. They were just everywhere. They were everywhere. Glory to God, it was awesome. And not only that, as we were praying and we were praying and we were praying, I saw Jesus walk in. Oh my goodness, he had a white robe on, and I don't know, it's kind of a multi-tiered thing, and it had a blue sash across him. And I looked and I saw him, and then there was an angel with a beaker of golden oil-looking stuff, honey-looking stuff, and they were pouring it over everybody. Pouring it all over everybody. And my goodness, we went down and we humbled ourselves on the floor. We were all down on the floor with our heads on the floor. God was just doing a mighty miracle in this fellowship. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And I believe he has anointed everybody that was there. And we asked the Lord to anoint the ones who couldn't make it there also. And we asked the Lord to those that were away, that he would announce, and also the outreach, that he would anoint the outreach as well. We've covered all bases. And so if you want that anointing, just receive it. That's all you have to do. And we praise you, Father, for that anointing, that overcoming anointing, not only that overcoming anointing, Lord, healing anointing, all the things that we need, Lord, I know that just what you're doing. And glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here that wants it is receiving it even as we speak. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. My, my, my. All right. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Ooh. Has anybody got a prayer request? Well, I'll tell you what, let's just soak a minute. Glory to God, this is awesome. This is awesome. Praise God forevermore. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord. You'll do anything for us, Lord. Anything. Your grace and your mercy far exceeds anything that we've ever encountered before, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that we're all set free from the things that has hindered us before. We're set free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your forgiving graciousness, Lord, and your mercy. Praise God forevermore. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my, 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 my. Anybody else want to praise him? Go right ahead. This is an open forum right now. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. I thought you were praising God there for me.
Oh, I was, and I am, and I just got just hit with all kinds of witchcraft stuff as I'm praising and thanking God and just thanking Jesus, and I get hit with all kinds of witchcraft, and I don't receive this. I command it all from you, not in my house. It does not belong here.
Nope.
Praise you, Jesus. I want the presence of the Lord, none of this other stuff. Thank you, Lord. You don't have any place here, devil. Praise you, Jesus.
It has to go. You go from her house right now in the name of Jesus. Go, everybody. Command it to go. Go from her house. You don't have a right there right now in Jesus' name. We command that place to be holy, free from all attacks of the enemy in Jesus' name.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. You are Lord. You are Lord, Jesus.
Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord, and your mercy in that house, your peace and your joy,
holy
and your
Lord,
love,
holy
Lord. Glory be to God. Same thing hit some of the people in the prayer meeting the other day too, but the devil couldn't hardly penetrate.
Ask, believe. Praise God. Can't it's gone in the name of Jesus.
Yes, it is. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, man, I could just sit here all night. Feel like that dog eating that biscuit again. Just rise up. Just rising up. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for blessing all of the people here that are in the outreach and are listening on the outreach in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Glory be to God. Ooh. My. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request after that? How about a testimony? That was my testimony. Man, we had a great time. And you know what? We generally last about 2 hours. And it seems like it goes just like that. It really does. We have a Bible study that we start at 10:30 and get out at 12. And then 12, we go to praying. And then from 12 to 2 is prayer time. And yesterday, the thing lasted about an hour, but it seemed like 15 minutes. You know, because that's just what God was doing. He was doing something in us. He was cleansing us. He was getting crazy thoughts out of our head. He was doing all the things that we have been asking him for to do. Praise God. And he's doing it tonight also. He's doing it tonight. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Missy.
I just like to praise and thank the Lord that Merle has come out from among them And in the name of Jesus, I praise you and I thank you, Father. And Merle
Amen.
left this assembly in the name of Jesus. We just praise you and thank you, Father, that it is done. It is done. Praise you, Lord. Thank you,
Glory be
Lord.
to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Who else wants to thank God for something? If you ain't got something to thank God for, you need to get saved. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Morning, everybody. I got a really busy day yesterday. Well, Wednesday night, I listened to the Bible study. And then yesterday afternoon as well, on Wednesday, and yesterday afternoon, then listened to it again, because there's so much things I have to think about, all the, about the music and get your head clear. And then later this afternoon, later that afternoon yesterday, the Lord showed me to get rid of stuff. I did that. It took me a while to understand what the Lord showed me, but that helped. But the most thing is important he showed me yesterday was, well, important was that he showed me about music. I was praying it yesterday afternoon and I was thinking about it. And I couldn't understand, couldn't wrap my head around all those music swing stuff. And I prayed about it last night and I prayed about it. And when I got to bed, when the Lord gave me a dream, that's what the most important thing I want to tell you. I haven't think about it yet, but that's what the Lord gave me. He showed me, I was talking to my part of my family and tell them, I was a leader as in, for instance, I think it was praise and worship I was talking about. And I said to everybody there, is anybody want to say what you like about the praise and worship, but you don't like? And we all agree. And, but only two people I remember there. That's the most important part. Two remember there. One is my sister-in-law, but she's into this Old Testament Jewish thing. And the other, her brother is also dead, but he's dead. When I woke up this morning, the first thing that came to me was part of praise and worship, the Lord showed me is, if people praise with you at this moment, most of that people or some of that people is dead. And that makes me think about it. I'm not sure if I'm explaining it correctly. So most of the people who singing with you with the song are at that moment spiritually dead. They haven't been wake up as in spiritually because they don't believe a word. But some of the words is not correct according to the word. It must be a pure, unadulterated word of God. And it's, me up and just think about why I praise and worship, and that stopped me from praising and worship now till the Lord showed me what to do now. And, I'm not sure if anybody is understanding what I'm trying to say. Have you got an idea, Julie?
Can you repeat what the Lord showed you about your sister? What did she say?
Now, she believes in the old Jewish things.
The old law, the Old Testament, Jewish.
Yeah. So she believed most of that stuff. Yeah.
Is that just in a dream? Or is that just in real life?
Okay. No, in the real life as well. But that's what she showed me. And then her brother is dead, but he's dead quite a few years ago. So why do you talk to dead people? That makes me think of praise and worship. Sorry, you can try to explain what I see.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Lord showed me that when I was at the church I used to belong to too during praise and worship. I just kind of looked around. It's like everyone, there was just only a few people that were really into the music and really seemed like they were really praising and worshiping God. And the Lord just gave his revelation. It's like, this is a dead church. It's like there was just no... That's what the Lord showed me. But I think what Joe was saying is some of these people are just dead. They're dead and they're not alive in the Lord. They're not born again.
Yeah, at this moment, yeah. It could be regulated then.
You know something that I have noticed about myself is that you have to discipline yourself to praise and worship at times, you know. When you don't feel like it, you just do it anyway, just to make the devil mad. And as you can probably see on the Friday night, sometimes everybody's standing up and they're praising God, you know, and at other times one or two might be sitting there. It doesn't mean that we're not praising God. It just means that whatever, I don't know. But I know in my experience with praise, I believe it's more of a discipline thing and in honor of the Lord, in praise of the Lord. That's what it's for. And that's why we ought to just always just be complete immersed in our praise to the Lord at all times when we're doing that. And that's for myself. And, you know, I'm not talking for anybody else. I'm just talking about myself. Anybody else got anything to say, you know, toward praise? Yeah, Andrew.
See, I have my praise and worship sheets here. If I'm going to start praising and worship, see, sometimes I'll, like, I have a song here called Grace is Greater Than All Our Sin, and I'll put Bible verses in the so that when you're singing, and little words like marvelous grace of our loving Lord, and I'll put in brackets God there, because sometimes you might think it's Jesus, and when you enter into this altar of praise, you see, I studied Matthew 37, and they had a little table for the incense that was made out of gold. It was an altar, a cubit by a cubit square and a cubit and a half high, and it was made out of wood, of course, acacia wood, but it was covered with gold. And they had the bars to carry that. And they had the same. Yeah, I was studying the things that are supposed to be in our spiritual temple, okay? And this altar that you enter into is an altar of prayer. But I believe praise and worship and thanksgiving are also given there too. And even just a dialogue with the Lord. So when you fill your page up with some words that you're going to praise the Lord with, if you put on the side, like here I have on the side of this particular song, what the song is for, it's to examine yourselves, and it's a calling to repentance for salvation, or to repent so that you can grow in the Lord, and from a progressive thing, like from a baby to a full grown man or woman, to attain some healing, some deliverance, some provision, the fruit, the gifts, and the blessings of God, you know. And you know, you get these other things, you know. The word soul here is mentioned in this particular praise and worship song, and I would put underline it and just put a yoke and a cross there. You know, you need your yoke. Your yoke is to take the take the UN off of your forgiveness, and have your forgiveness so that when you're yoked to the Lord, you can have your humility and your meekness. Because they go hand in hand. You see, there's these words that are good companion words to each other for humility and stuff. And some people had to go through quite a bit of humility to attain humility. And you need your yoke sometimes for the Lord to silence you, especially when you're going through a cross, you know. And usually a yoke is either on your feet, or it was for your neck and your two hands. And, you know, signifying that the works of your hands, because of the nail prints of Jesus Christ, is supposed to be also humbled and showing the love and stuff and your walk too. So the yoke is, it's that one you're yoked to, and it's an interesting yoke if you live it on the inside, right? It's not side by side like they thought it was with oxen, even though that's a good allegory or parallel to a yoke, because the older ox knows how to plow, and the younger one, you, are following the Lord. And some really good worship songs, you know, Be Thou My Vision. You know, sometimes you worship because you're in a surrendered form, but you also want to be more surrendered. Just like faith is instantaneous and progressive, so is glory. Grace upon grace, glory to glory in our Second Corinthians. And so is salvation, because, and now this knowing, awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, in 13:11, after he talks about love. So with this altar, I believe you enter for your praise and worship, and for your thanksgiving, and especially for your prayer. So, you know, some people might have a little problem praying a lot. So I don't know how many I got here, but these are all prayers for me to have a closer walk with Jesus, have a closer maturity with Jesus. And your mind can do two things at once while you praise him with this. You have things going through your mind. Hey, that's that verse. That's that one. You know, and the Lord will do that with you. And pretty soon you'll have a lot of notes on the side of your worship songs.
You end up getting the teaching out of it.
And you almost get the teaching out of it too, you know. And it's just, you know, like there's the portion there, thou in me dwelling. You know, I put Revelation 3:20 there. And I know the address of that. And I with thee one, and I remembered all those seven ones from Ephesians 4:4 to 4:6, you know. And there's seven ones there, and one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, you know, one faith. So I don't know if this one faith, with all the different denominations they have, whether they're not blaspheming that verse or not, you know. And denominationalism is a division, you know, and that's a fruit of the flesh. And I understand that sometimes they think they're set apart and more holy for being this, but is holiness treating a brother this way? You know, like I used to think, like, well, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist? What's the difference between a Catholic and a Russian Orthodox? What's the difference between a Pentecostal and a Church of God? That they have the some of the gifts of the Spirit in both of those denominations. Why are they apart? Why is this? You know, why is this? And what has come to these churches since I've come at them? You know? So, anyway, I don't know if these are all mostly like, you know, I will sing that song. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? You know, and there's some more modern songs here too, but you know, I know that this Be Thou My Vision is from the 1500s, and we can always use a bit more vision until we see exactly the way Christ does. And he's got to be the Lord of your heart more and more. So I don't know, you know, I don't know why I'm even saying this or discussing this, but I also found, you know, that I actually went to YouTube and I had to write out Amazing Grace. And when I wrote it out, I said, I didn't know the song went like that. And I knew the first stanza, but I didn't know the rest, you know, and I said, this is all new to me, you know, and same with the Grace, the other Grace song there. And it gets you really thinking when you write things out, because, you know, these people who wrote these songs out, they were thinking intensely on those, on the Lord, and this Be Now My Vision is I think a real beautiful song. I can't get through what a friend we have in Jesus to think about good prayers I should be praying, you know, because it mentions prayer in that worship, and it's just a real wonderful song to help you, you know, and the Amazing Grace, you know, there's the second stanza where, you know, it talks about 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. There's no fear of the Lord today. I don't even know if they sing this anymore. And it was grace, my fears to be relieved. So, and how precious did this grace appear the hour I first believed. And it makes you think of the first time you came to Christ, you know, and it just goes on from there, and how comforting the song could be for you, and describing this grace and stuff. And of course, you know, that's a fairly new one I wrote down, so there's not as many little notes on the side yet, but it can really assist you if you write these music down. I'm not saying that, you see, I got my other book here for writing. I haven't written anything down in them yet, but you still do want it to come off the paper and go on your heart. And music is always just delightful for that. Puts a tune in your heart, puts a tune in your mind, and it really uplifts you. Uplifts you. It's nice to know the words off by heart, but it's also nice to know the Word of God written in your heart off by heart, or how to collate even just single words like love and joy and peace, and how to collate that joy with all the blessings in Matthew chapter 5. You know, I did mention here once that he gave me 8 out of 9 of those blessings one night. He just put them all in my head. And I don't know if it was one of those days after we were studying those blessings, because I think we did that about 3 times here, so I've been seeing your lovely faces. Anyway, so praise and glory to God. I talk too much, but it's a proverb. You can't change it.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I'll never forget this. An old saint said this to me years ago. Said there's 2 times to praise the Lord: when you feel like it and when you don't. I really, really like that, because so many times, you know, you wake up in the morning and sometimes you're just hit from the moment that you wake up. But boy, I just start confessing the word and singing the word and confessing who I am in Christ and talking to the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And, you know, it has to go. And I was going to, you know, just kind of reiterate some of the, I was thinking about a lot of the things that Andrew said. To me, so many of, I grew up with the old hymns. I grew up in a, as Barry would say, an uptight white church, you know, just a same denomination as you, Michael, Disciples of Christ. But we sang those old hymns.
Yeah.
And I always loved them, and they would just bring joy to my heart, even as a little kid. And so when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, it just almost immediately, I went and grabbed a hymnal from the dead church we were going to, and I bought a keyboard because I knew how to play the piano a little bit, and set up a prayer room in our house. And I would just, boy, Saturday Saturday, because I was working, Saturday was really the only time that I had like just hours I could go up there and spend. But I, you know, the Holy Spirit just started bringing back all those old hymns, and I started singing them and playing them. And like Andrew said, those were kind of like my tutors on learning how to pray and learning how to be an intercessor, because those old hymns were, they were based on scripture. And when I started reading after I got the, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord put on my heart that he wanted me to start reading the Bible every day. And I remember at the time I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm busy, I'm working, and, you know, I'm not sure if I have time to do that. And he said, well, you have time to read the newspaper in the evening. And so, you know, I put the newspaper down, started reading my Bible every night. And, but that's when I started seeing that, you know, these old hymns, you know, they were really based on scripture. And, sometimes, you know, the doctrine might be a little bit off because they didn't have some of the revelations that we have today, but the Holy Spirit would just give you different, you know, you could change up a word here and there and get it straightened out. And, but I will also say that, you know, some of the songs that we sing these days, you know, the same thing. I just sing them as a prayer. You know, that song, let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Can you imagine that? The true life of the Word of God flowing through us constantly. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. That is powerful to think about that. The truth, Jesus, all grace and truth, as it says there in John chapter 1, truly reigning in our hearts. Let the weight of your glory cover us. And that weight of his glory is just the beauty of his holiness. And so anyway, you know, to me, I love my prayer time, and it's a great time to sing and to worship the Lord. But so much of the worship in these songs, you know, it can really just be the prayers from the depth of your soul, just deep calling unto deep, and the Lord answering. So I see dear brother Pat has his hand up. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just looking for something, but I was keying in on what Andrew was talking about, and as far as the denominations and the old hymns, the old music, and kind of the way everything is going through the meeting here. And I remember, excuse me. I guess I was just pondering. I was looking for that scripture. I think it was in Ezekiel about the dead. And dead bones, God raising the dead bones, and he told Ezekiel, look out there. God raised up dead bones out of the valley, the dried valley, and raised those bones up and put flesh on them and sinews and whatever. I forgot where it was at now. Maybe it was in Jeremiah. But it just dawned on me that many of the saints before were learning some of the specifics, the things that the Lord was showing them. And these things that he was showing and bringing into being, even though they were just glimpses of the whole total package, they were glimpses, but they were nuggets. And a lot of these building blocks were brought forth in the hymns that we're listening to. And those things came into being into a certain life of their own, and they were like seeds that were cast out there into the earth. And the benefit of God scattering the Christian seed throughout the world as a result of the persecution was that he was taking these seeds and scattering them out in all different parts of the world for different perspectives, different applications of the same truth, the same spirit. And he did that from the old covenant times right on through into the new covenant times, and sent these things out throughout into the earth. And right now, I know in our day and age, in the separate denominations, there's probably a certain bit of the division is there, and there's a certain antagonism, maybe, or what am I trying to say? The denominations in themselves being divided tend to think that each one has their, it has the true word of God, and moving, and the rest are deficient in some form. But God, I believe in these last days, is developing and bringing forth his spirit of love upon his people, that love being able to have the compassion that looks past the divisions and potential divisions, looks past that in a heart of acceptance and allows us for the first time to actually hear and receive those and be open to those different perspectives that God has scattered in other directions. And just like he did with Israel, he is pulling these different people together and bringing us together and recognizing, I think, for the first time, that we all function under the same God, and we all function in accordance to the same spirit. But our master has scattered this wide diversity out throughout the world. I know that word diversity is a very divisive or almost evil connotation today, but God is not limited in his wide variety of people, of character, of perspective, of different experiences, different life, as long as it is all being tied together in his spirit, in him, in one. And I'm just so excited to be in the time that we are at now, because God is bringing it all together in such a way that he's also at the same time building his people, that temple made without hands, that kingdom that will exist and live forever. And he's going to utilize that to remove and destroy and dethrone the kingdoms that have ruled this earth since time began. And I mean, we are in a glorious time. I praise the Lord for being able to see what we see now. And I think we're even seeing that death will be conquered in manifestation in these last times as well. And I know we say it by faith, but I believe manifestation is going to run rampant in these last days, and people will, because that's what it's going to take to raise the dead that are in this world now. The spirits are just so embedded in people. And the Lord I think the Lord is in the process now of showing us how to dismantle those and undercut those spiritual strongholds that bind people to sin. And he's giving us the ability and the wisdom to release them. And it's exciting when we're thinking about these things and even just thinking about the Lord himself, when he came in physical presence for the purpose of the expression of God's life and the crucifixion and final killing of the flesh and the release of us to function within his dominion, he showed us the perfection, and that's what that perfection, he's meeting it out now upon his people, upon his sons, upon his daughters. So we are in an exciting time, and just listening to these hymns, you know, the crazy thing about it is, being a Christian for over 40 years, I'd never read Pilgrim's Progress. And when Andrew was talking about it a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, I think you said you're watching it on a movie or something like that. And I watched a little, I guess it's an animation cartoon version of it, just because it was a quick, you know, hour and a half show. I was amazed at the truth that is in that story. And that's, what, 500 years old or something like that? The reality of discipleship and just the whole package, the whole walk, that we are really, you know, God has really brought back into manifestation now in this last time. He spoke about it in Pilgrim's Progress. And, in a way, I'm kind of ashamed I've never even read the book before, but it was just, it was amazing. So thanks for pointing that out to me, Andrew. I went ahead and read it for the first time, you know, but it was amazing because of the things that God has the things that he's put in place, even hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and he's going to bring them all back here in this end time in the construction of his temple. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. You made a comment about this a good time to be alive. It is. And the things that are going on in the spiritual realm are just amazing. Amazing what God's doing with his people. And praise God. Just press in and keep on. And you're going to experience the things that God has already told us was going to happen. And it already started to happen. Lord, we just praise you, glorify you, that everybody's going to hold on. When all this fails, hold on. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Well, Missy, I went over what you had because I wanted something else when somebody else mentioned these old songs. Marilyn and Pat Booth, or Andrew, I'm sorry, mentioned these old songs. And I got one that has two or three of them in the same song. So I wanted to pray Charity Gale's Cleansed, if that's all right with y'all. Y'all want to hear it? Y'all ready to get out and do some foot stomping and hand clapping praise music? All right. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Let's see if I can do this. Give it just a second here.
The altar where I run to rest, where I wait resurrection and the touch of your breath. I die now daily because I've learned to live in the grace that the mercy of the Lamb and the bread. I feast now daily because I've learned to live in the grace that belongs to all who are I'm is called glory.
Oh,
Amen. Woohoo! Boy, that'll get your juices flowing if you wanted to get up and clap your hands, shout a little bit. I expect David's wondering, what in the world is that boy doing now? Praise God. I don't know if I shared this the other night, but I want to share it again. Can I do that? Okay. I hear somebody say amen. All right. Let's see. Let me find it here. Well, I had it earlier. Where'd you go? Oh, here it is. Okay, this is a little story. I may have shared some of it Saturday night, but I wanted to get it on recording. This is an awesome testimony of God's goodness. There was a brother who, at the mid to late 1960s, began to get a revelation of a nice principle, of a very good principle. One day, in his meditation and prayer time, the Lord said, "Son, would you just spend time with me as a friend? Would you spend time with me as a friend? I don't have anyone who will just spend time with me as a friend. Everyone always comes with a petition, with intercession, with various requests, but they never just want to be with me for who I am." Well, this brother was a very busy man. He teaching in a full-time Bible college as well as ministering on Sundays. His days were full. He thought and meditated about what the Lord had said, not wanting to commit to something without fulfilling it. He said, "Lord, the only time that I have is from 2 o'clock in the morning to 3:30, but I'll do it." He made a commitment and he kept his word. So every night at 10 minutes till two, he would get up out of bed and go into his sitting room to spend that time with the Lord. He began to practice properly, framing a picture of Jesus sitting across from him. He wasn't worried about the accuracy, as you'll never get accurate if you don't try. You never become proficient if you don't start. So every night, he would sit down and talk to Jesus like a good friend. "How's your day been, Jesus? What do you think about this?" Or, "What do you think about that?" And because Jesus had come to him and asked him to spend time together as a friend, this brother would not only ask questions, small talk, but he would listen to what was on the Lord's heart that evening. He got to the point that he so enjoyed this time alone with the Lord, speaking friend to friend, that he would look forward with anticipation each evening to these times alone with the Lord. One day, about a year later, he got up again, looking forward to this time with the Lord. And as he was sitting down in his armchair, he heard the back door open and then close at 2 o'clock in the morning? Needless to say, it was a surprise. He heard footsteps walking down the hallway, and into a sitting room walked Jesus in human form. And he sat down in the chair across from this brother. How many of you want Jesus to do that for you? The Lord said, because you were willing to spend this time with me as a friend, and because you practiced this principle, from this day forward, you will see me clearly everywhere you go the rest of your life. Well, the guy said, what you focus on, you will eventually connect with, and when you connect, activation will come. In other words, this guy would imagine Jesus sitting across from him every night. He'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is sacrifice on his behalf. Sacrifice of his time. He was a busy man, he said. And the Lord, he did it every night. He didn't fail. He did it every night. And then a year later, Jesus come in the door in the flesh or in solid form and talk to him. Woo, glory to God. I'd like that. Y'all like that? You know what it takes, don't you? Sacrifice. And, what's the word? Yeah. It's discipline. That's what I meant. Discipline. That's what I was looking for. It takes discipline to do something like that. And that's a lot of times, that's something that we tend not to have when it comes to just talking to the air for a year. But he had committed himself. It's determination. That's what it is. It's passion. It's passion for Christ. It's passion to surrender yourself to him. You know what the proof of passion is? Pursuit. Somebody else came up with that, but I liked it, so I'm going to use it. The proof of your passion is your pursuit. And when we pursue God with that kind of a mentality or a discipline, He will reward you for it. I'm telling you, we're in some times now that it's not going to take a year before Jesus shows up. It's not going to take long at all. All he wants is somebody that is determined to do everything in your realm to run after him. He wants you to, like that book that Andrew Murray, surrender yourself to him. And he'll come pretty quick. Yeah, being a friend, that's all he wanted. He just wanted somebody to talk to him and that would listen instead of just doing all the talking. Listen. That's hard for us to do, to have just nothing going on. And Jesus, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And just sit there until you hear something. The other day, I was, and I'm not nobody, nothing, but I'm going to tell you a little what happened the other day. And I got confirmation of it too. The other day I was praying. David was walking down the hill. And when he walks down the hill, I get loud in my praying time, and I pray in the spirit, and I walk out on the balcony and back and walking back and forth. And as you know, the two angels are here, Baruch and Jeriel are here. And I was walking down to them, and I said, what's up, Baruch? He said, hi, Michael. I said, whoa, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your thing. And so I asked David talks to Bruce a lot. And I said, David, ask Bruce if he answered me back this afternoon. And Bruce told him, said, yeah, that was me. I said, okay, praise God. I heard him. You know what I'm saying? I heard him. And I heard in the spirit. And I didn't intend to. I didn't, but yeah, I wanted to. And I was expecting it, but I wasn't expecting it. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what I'm thinking is the key, is expecting it to happen. And it would happen. If you expect Jesus to answer you back, guess what? It'll happen. I believe, don't y'all? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Yeah, Missy.
I think it was the week before last. I was out walking and praying, and the Lord said to me that hearing Him speak to you is just as easy as when you pick up a phone and call somebody and expecting to hear somebody on the other end. That's what He told me.
He says, run that by me again.
That hearing the Lord's voice, the Lord told me that hearing His voice is as easy as when you call someone and expecting to hear someone on the other end.
Yeah. Amen. That's good, Missy.
Wow.
It's using this, right? Our imagination. Not only our imagination, but believing and expecting it.
Yeah, expecting it. I mean, just it's nothing. It's nothing for us to pick up the phone and call somebody and expect to hear. It's like, Father, help us to have that expectation. Yeah. Without even thinking about it, you know, because you don't think about that. You don't think about, well, am I going to hear, you know, sometimes you wonder if someone's going to answer, you know, but, you know, if someone's going to be home or answer their phone or whatever. But you know that when someone picks up that phone, they're going to answer. So, you know, I mean, it's just, just. When you call someone up and you're expecting to hear them on the other end, it's just as easy as that, you know? You're expecting them to answer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, is He gives you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in His name, and He teaches you all things, and He'll remind you. And I'm sure everyone here had their reminder at least once or twice. And that reminder is almost like that phone call, too. You know, he'll put a verse in your head. He has to, because He said He would. That's John 14:26. You know, I think we did a practice here once where we were all supposed to go into the Bible and open it up and get a word on something. And we all came back with a different word. We did that on the fellowship here once. It was a long time ago. And I was just amazed that everyone got a different word about the subject that we were doing. And wow, you know, that was amazing, you know. Anyways, I just wanted to put that reminder in there because He does remind you. How else are you going to know when this is the goofy guy talking to you, telling you a temptation, and you go, that's not right. But someone's intervening and reminding you also in that occasion to cast down this imagination or this reason. So don't tell me he didn't remind you or talk to you, because He did. Praise God.
Thank you, Father. All right, let's pray right quick for Katie. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command all fear to go from her. And I thank you, Father, that when they run through this CT scan, it ain't going to show nothing because, God, you have already taken it out of her, and we praise you for it, Father. There's nothing wrong with her. And I praise you, Father, for your complete, clean body, that this CT scan is not going to get nothing in Jesus' name. And I praise you for Katie's complete healing in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's known. Thank you, Father. Katie, fear go from her right now in Jesus' name and stand on the word. When you quit standing, just keep on standing. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to share what you were talking about expecting the Lord to respond. Michael had taught on that here locally, I don't know, a few weeks ago. But anyways, the first time I got up early to spend time with the Lord, I've done that before, but the first time I did it, like, okay, I have this in mind. I'm going to expect the Lord to respond, and I'm going to expect it. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to expect you to speak to me. Because before, it would just kind of be like, well, is he going to speak? I'll, you know, you're not really expecting anything. The first time I did it, I was just meditating on the Lord, and he just spoke some scriptures to me, some understanding of this scripture, a revelation, like he spoke to me before, not in an audible voice, but just like an opening of a revelation. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so awesome. And then all of a sudden I realized, and I was just like, oh, that was the Lord speaking. I was so excited. It was just really awesome. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, great expectation brings results. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody have Jesus or God talk to you and it surprised you? Yeah, Geneva.
Well, actually, probably about 2 months ago, I was sitting on my bed and I was just kind of crying out to the Lord, but just praying and thinking about, you know, because I know we've touched on this before about just imagining Jesus being right beside you. And that's what I was doing. I was just imagining Jesus right beside me. And I was just sitting there and I was just still for a little bit. And, I just remember being like, well, Lord, things are so, they feel so rough right now. And, you know, I sat there for a while and I did some talking. I did some being quiet and, you know, all the sorts. And anyways, I told him how, you know, my heart's heavy and I just wanted some encouragement. You know, cause I was standing on the promise, but I just needed his faith at that time. And I just felt like Anna said, not like anything audible, but it's like, when he speaks to you, it's just like you, it's a feeling. It's like a word becomes a feeling in your heart and you just, you know it. And it's like a whole sentence or whatever. You just feel it and you know it, and you know it was the Lord. And, I was looking at this picture on the walls, like a flower in bloom, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and he just said, blessings are on the way soon. And I felt that and it, you know, it'd been a little bit, and I was just, it's like, Lord, I'm going to believe and know in all my heart that that was you, and I'm just going to trust it. I'm going to walk by faith. And I knew it was. And then literally a week later, Morgan's, you know, tells me he gets that call from, that big plant here in town. And then we find out that I'm pregnant. And then that's when, you know, Morgan was having faith. He goes, Geneva, this was before we knew that I was pregnant. We had maybe a feeling that I might be, And he goes, if you're pregnant, I know in Jesus' name I got this job. and that's exactly what happened. And, the Lord, that was the Lord, you know, blessings were on the way and, you know, things have definitely been better. And, I just praise the Lord for that. You know, he's so long suffering with us and, you know, when we need him, he's there. And I just thank the Lord for, for doing that for me. And I still tell Morgan about that all the time, how special that was and, you know, how God met me there.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the blessings. By the way, I am a new great-grandfather as of yesterday. Yeah, a little boy, Ryder Lee. Ryder Lee Sample, Blake boy. Glory to God. It looked like he was about half grown. Good gracious, that boy was that wide, that long. Good gracious, he had got a leg long as stilts, man. I said, look at that boy. Looked like a bull rider coming out of there. Lord of God. Yeah, he's a big boy. 7 pounds and, gosh, I forget how many ounces. But 4'5", you know, or something like that. I don't know. Big boy. All right, who's next? Ryder Lee, he named him after Austin. Austin's middle name was Lee. All right, who's next? Thank you, Geneva. That's awesome. £7. That's not, I know, Anna. But you should have seen his length. Gosh, he was that long. It looked like it by the pictures anyway. All right. Jesus is good. Praise God. No problems at all. Okay. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share or would like to talk about their experience with God? When's the first time you heard God's voice? Yeah, Andrew.
I just, you know, I think I sounded a little bit excited about worshiping God there when I was talking about it. And one thing I noticed that when I started getting some newer songs that I wrote down, and you're doing this by yourself in your prayer time, praise time, worship time, thankfulness time, that sometimes you got no place to go anyway, so you don't have to rush through it either. You know, you have to get really calmed down and sometimes even sing the song or sing the praise song really slow. And I think this is what part of what Michael's talking about. If you're going to pretend Jesus is in that chair over there, I used to pretend that sometimes I was just talking to a crowd of people. I used to be more evangelical that way after that practicing, you know, not in a mirror though, but you have the mirror anyway. But, you know, I got my chair here and I do sometimes talk as if he's sitting there. And, you know, I want to get more into that. But, you know, even in your prayer time, you just have to, or worship time. You know, you're supposed to get in your closet anyway, so get in your closet with your worship too. So it's kind of the same thing anyway. So you're in no rush. You're in no rush to do your Bible study either. If you want to start reading, whether it's for half an hour or an hour, you know, you're in no rush. You know, and I don't know if that would help anyone here or anyone who will be listening. But, you know, I used to do it at work. Because we had coffee break, a proverb a day, you know. It'll keep the doctor away, too. Anyways, so praise God. I think there's a lot, too, because I think people sometimes they go and they say a prayer and they say it so fast, you know. It's like, what did he say? You know, so you have to really just calm down, and you got no place to go. You got to be with Jesus now. You got to be with the Father now. You know, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And that name is the Word of God, Jesus. So that's who you're with. So, and that Isaiah is 700 years before Christ. Just trust in his word to come to you. Praise God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Did anybody receive that book, Humility, that I sent out last week? Because I sent it out in a group email.
I didn't.
Why not?
I don't know, but I was thinking there was something you were supposed to send us, but I couldn't even remember what it was. I was just thinking about it yesterday. But no, I didn't receive anything from you here recently.
Okay.
I'd like to have it.
Okay. I have it in PDF, or I did have. I'll have to check my email and send it again. That could be true, because sometimes I have problems with my Proton Mail. Anybody ever have problems with your Proton Mail with Outlook?
No.
Okay. I don't have problems anymore. Just bless God, I just don't have any more problems. All right, I'll send it out again.
Michael, I didn't get it either. So.
Okay. Well, when I send a group email, it goes to everybody in the outreach, and you're on it, Debbie, so you should get it. So if you don't get it, let me know, and I'll send it out again. I'm going to send it out again. You don't need to tell me. I'll send it out to everybody.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anybody else on Jesus Speaking to You?
I can share.
Sure. Yeah.
The very first time I heard him audibly, I mean, his voice was, I had, just started really wanting to press, follow the Lord. I was like 25 and I would just have such good times with the Lord at night. I'd go late at night listening to, back then I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I was wanting the Lord, and I was listening to things on the radio, and someone was talking about God speaking to them and waking them up in the morning. But I was working then real early. I had to get up at 6 o'clock and get to work by 7, get my kids to a babysitter, my 2 children then. And I asked the Lord to wake me up. I said, I'm not going to set my alarm. God, I want you to wake me up. And I just trust you're going to do that. And so at 6 o'clock, I heard Debbie real low and loud. I heard my name so loudly. Just woke me up. Which is so amazing. So another time I heard his voice audibly through a dream. Then I heard his voice in dream. I heard it in a dream. He was talking me through my dream about situations I was in, come out of, and about seeking him and diving deep into his spirit and swim deep. And, I saw myself going in water. It was just beautiful. But he was speaking to me through that with a voice. It was his voice. I'm pretty sure it was his voice. So that's what I heard audibly, yeah. And one other time, I'll just tell you, I was praying for our wedding day, my and Denny's wedding day, and we were going to get married and set the date, and we had the date set. And I was praying about the day. Oh, it'd be a beautiful day. We didn't want to get any, what's the word? We didn't want to get another place, because a wedding was going to be outside. We didn't want to get another place inside in case of inclement weather. We wanted to trust the Lord. It was going to be a beautiful day. And I was in my car one day in front of our house and saying, well, I don't really think I want to get, we don't want to get another place, but sometimes I just feel like we should. So help me here. And I heard him say that wasn't audibly, but in my spirit, he told me it's going to be a beautiful day. I just knew it so well. It was just him speaking that to me in my spirit. And gave me a song out of that too about our wedding day. It's going to be a beautiful day. So that was neat too. One of the first times I heard him speak.
Amen. Go ahead, Anna.
I was actually thinking about asking if anyone had ever had what Debbie just shared, where the Lord just says your name in the night. Because that's happened to me at least twice, maybe three times. But then the Lord doesn't say anything, and I'm listening and listening, and I even say, like, here I am, Lord. You know, what do you have to say? And but I've heard that two or three times where I'll just hear, Anna, and it wakes me up, like completely awake. But then the Lord's never said anything after that so far. And I believe, you know, he's going to. But Debbie said it happened to her. I was just wondering if anyone has ever experienced that, where he said your name woke you up, or if he said your name and then said, you know, had instructions or something.
Amen. That happened to me, Anna, about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I think I told it here. I was sitting down in my prayer chair down in the woods. And the Lord said, Michael, get up. I go to the house. I said, okay. Okay. And I started to get up. He said, get up and go now. I said, okay. And so I went up to the house. Don't have a clue why I had to go to the house, but the Lord does. All right, Isaac.
Yeah, I, well, me and Mariana, we were, getting up. I'm gonna say it this way. There for a while, we were getting up at like, gosh, I don't know, 6-ish, 7-ish, you know, on our weekend days when we don't have to be, to read the Bible. And that'd be the first thing we do. We just go down there and read the Bible and, take our time. And we were listening to a lot of ministries and a lot of, you know, UVM, how they talk about, we just for like a month, really, we just listened to a random ministry and some of the older ministries. And he would, Dave would say, you know, he wants to spend time with you and you'll find that he'll wake you up before your alarm clock goes off, which we did find to be true. So, Mariana would always wake me up, you know, in the morning. So we'd go do that and then I would rebuke her. no, but I would, she'd wake me up. I'm like, okay, I get up now. And so, but one day I'm laying there in bed and I hear Isaac, and it's Mariana's voice. And I'm just like, I'm not even awake. I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. I'm just kind of like, you know, like, get away from me. Get out of here. And he goes, Isaac. And I'm just like, you know, just kind of like, can't really, I can't say anything. I am awake, but I'm not awake. I'm just in that state. But it's like my eyes are too heavy and I'm too tired. And I hear it say, Isaac, again. And I just, three times in a row, in Mariana's voice, I wake up and said, okay, okay. I look up and say, I set up, I look at her and I say, okay, Mariana, she's asleep. And I said, oh my Lord. That's when it dawned on me, that was God talking to me. He just used Mariana's voice, but it was him. It was repetitive three times in a row. Isaac, Isaac, Isaac. And then she was knocked out. And so I had to wake her up. And I was like, honey, we need to go read the Bible like right now. And so that's pretty cool.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? I don't think I told you the first time he talked to me was I was just a few months in the, as a Christian, putting on my blue jeans one morning. And I said, Lord, I just love you, while I was putting on my blue jeans. And right up behind my back of my head, he, I love you too, Michael. Just like an Arkansas accent. Yep. So he's a Southern boy. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, he did. And I had to sit right back down. I said, what was that? Go ahead, Missy.
I shared this before. I don't know if I shared it, that it was the first time I knew that the Lord was talking to me, you know, like it wasn't an audible voice, but I was praying about something that I was concerned about and something that I didn't want to do. And this thought came to me about what was going to happen during this time where I was to go somewhere I didn't want to go. And like you said, this thought, or it was almost like a flash vision, a knowing or whatever. And I started rebuking the enemy. I said, I don't receive that, you know, like, you know, no, you know, go away, Satan, or something, or whatever. This was in 2005. Anyway, and then right away, what came back to me, and this was the Lord. He says to me, "Don't think that I can't use something negative." And it was the Lord that gave me that knowing, but it was just, these thoughts came right back to me after that. And I knew it was the Lord then. And, I had peace about the situation and everything, after that. And what the Lord, that vision or that knowing or whatever, it did happen. It did happen then. But, that was really wild. It was I just had a knowing that it was going to be all right, you know, that everything was going to be all right. It was, you know, but I didn't think about it. I didn't worry about it after that. But then when everything started playing out, I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of like remembered what the Lord had shown me. So that was a really hard time I went through. But anyway, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. Thank you, Lord. He was with me the whole way through it.
All right, Isaac, go ahead.
Sorry, I just couldn't help it. I don't know. I guess I like talking about the Lord talking to us. It's like I want to talk about it more. Anyways, now audibly, I think the time I told you all, that's the first time I ever heard that. I've only heard that once. I've heard him in dreams on multiple occasions, and it's thunderous, man. Like really, and that's what when I put in the chat, it's a fearful experience because it was. And that's basically because kind of the dream I was having. In one of his dreams, I know he was trying to show me his power. And it was right after I had a chicken die, I told y'all. And I went out there and prayed that chicken to come back alive. And I picked it up and this really happened. I picked it up and threw it. I just, it's dead. And I threw it. Well, I'm pretty sure it hit a stump, fell down. I said, man, come on. Well, you're going in the frying pot. Anyways, so I was kind of like, man, kind of defeated a little bit. So I went to sleep and, at night, and the Lord, I was standing somewhere. I don't know where at, but I know my friend Stephen was there, and Stephen means crown. And, man, the Lord came out and spoke. And I just hit the ground. It was thunderous. And I've told you guys before, like, so people are bound by physics, right? It applies to them. Gravity, you get it. Speed of sound, sound waves, how they travel. you know, we're just bound by these people or bound by these earthy elements, but not God. He's just not bound by it. I know best way for me explaining to it is he doesn't obey physics. Physics obeys him, right? And that's the fact. Because when he said, you know, he said, Isaac, why don't you believe the word that I have spoken? Believe it and it shall be done unto you. But when he said it, like I told you, man, so when I read about Peter and I read about these guys who hit the ground, and it's like, well, they walked with Jesus. What are they fearful for? They've seen everything. Well, when you hear that voice, you'll know too. You'll understand. And because it happened to me, maybe not y'all. I don't know. You know, hopefully y'all have boldness in that moment. I really believe that. that's what I would love that. But it was still fearful. Anyways, man, he came out and told me that. And I just hit the ground because the point I'm trying to say about the sound waves is it was all around me. It was north of me, south of me, east of me, west of me, all that. It was on top of me. I'm not a claustrophobic person. But if you could ever experience claustrophobia with sound, that is what that is. Man, it was just totally encompassing. Because there's nowhere you can go where you can hide, right? There's nowhere you can go where he can't provide also. It's just, man, it's just so encompassing. So I thought that was really cool. And then to, y'all probably heard the Lord speak to y'all's hearts before, and that's always cool. It's a feeling that explains a sentence or a paragraph. It's the coolest thing. I remember one time I was up in a tree with my buddy. I was a kid and I was a teenager and he was shooting a BB gun. He was just shooting everything. And I remember he was up above me. So my head was right next to his knee and we climbed pretty high and he was shooting and I felt something in my heart say, Isaac, turn your head. And I said to myself quietly, that's just me talking, you know, cause I don't want to be, you know, I'm a teenager. I just want to be careful. I'm just, I don't know. Don't know much. I'm a teenager, man. And he goes, Isaac, turn your head. And I said, it's me again. Just get out of here. And I hear, Isaac, turn your head. So I said, okay. So I turned my head and because like it, when I say his knee, it was like his knee and his leg. But when I turned my head, he shot the BB gun. And I heard it go bing, bonk. Like it ricocheted, hit me in the leg. And he goes, and he almost fell down. He goes, my leg. And I'm like, what happened? Where my head was positioned, it was my eyeball. So it hit me right in the eye, exactly in the eye. And the Lord cared about that too. And there's been a lot of moments like that where he speaks to my heart. And that's cool too. But I don't know. This is exciting. I like talking about it. That's all.
Me too, Isaac. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting in here studying or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I hear Michael. And I get up out of my chair, go out here on the balcony, and I'll say, yeah, David. And he'll look up there and he said, I didn't call you. And he'll say this, say, here am I, for thou speakest. I said, David, don't play games with me. He said, I'm not. I didn't call you. I said, okay. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. All right, anybody else? We got angels on in this house. I think they play games with me because I play games with them too. There's a bunch of them in here. Not in this room. There's only one in here, but they're right outside the door. There's a bunch of them. No, I got some more in here. Has anybody ever seen your angel? I hadn't seen mine either, so don't. But I've seen angels. I saw angels the other day. That was just outstanding. It's hundreds of them where we were. Thank you, Jesus. And Lexi saw them too. She gets to see them a lot too. Yeah, Pat.
How big were they, Michael?
How big were they?
Yes. Size-wise compared to a man.
They were, some were smaller, some were bigger. It was just a myriad of angels. When I see angels, I just see groups of them. Now I saw Jesus. Jesus was probably around my size, about 6 foot. But the angels were just kind of flying around in white robes all over the place. Some were small, some were big. Not real big, not humongous, but, you know, human size. But most of them are just small.
When you say saw Jesus, did he have the marks in his hands?
Didn't see that.
Okay.
Didn't see his face. Just knew it was a knowing. He had on robes that were full and a sash, a blue sash from the right shoulder to the left hip. So, and then I saw a small angel that had the beaker of gold, honey looking substance that was pouring around, just flying around, pouring around on everybody, pouring it on their head.
When you say small, do you mean like, when you say that, I think of, you know, that movie, well, what is it?
I don't know.
I'm thinking here. It was like Tinkerbell or something like that, real small.
Oh, no,
small,
no,
like...
it was bigger than that. See, it was probably 3 or 4 foot tall.
Really?
But it wasn't walking, it was flying around. It was flying around above everybody.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. It was in a short white robe of some sort. And some of them have wings and some didn't. Most of them did not. Go ahead, Oz.
Do you know why they appear to some people and some people they don't?
I think everybody, if they'll just look, will see them. It's a spiritual realm. It's when you pray in the spirit a lot, if you pray in the spirit a lot, you tend to see. If you want to see them, you can see them. That's what I believe. I've seen them. My wife, I tell you, the first time I had experience with that, we were at the first church I was in. And now she, you got to remember, she was, bless her heart, she was in that period of her life that was going through the change. And she was taking some meds for whatever they take at that time. I don't know what it is. Don't care. But anyway, she told me, she said there was a lady up there singing, a young lady that went up there and sang in Baptist Church. And she said, there's a big angel behind her. And I was at that Baptist stage, you know. I said, oh, okay. You know, here we go again type of deal. But she saw that angel, and it was weeks and weeks sometime later that I saw that. It was a big angel that I saw it also. And I had to, of course, apologize to her and ask for forgiveness and humble myself and do all of that that men love to do, you know.
This is when you were in a Baptist church?
Absolutely. My wife had, she sees all the time in the spirit. And if she's baptized in the spirit, I don't know it. But she does. She sees in the spirit. She saw, one time she saw, I forget what it was, a flag on the moon. I said, you see what? She said, there's a flag on the moon. I said, okay, what kind of flag was it? And I forget what it was, but that stayed with her for years. She could see that two flags, if I remember. I'll have to go back and ask her again. But it represented political upheaval here on Earth. That's what I believe it did. through two different factions at the time. This was, gosh, back in 2005, 6, and 7, somewhere along in there. Yeah, Debbie.
Oh, I was just going to share that had been praying. I hadn't seen an angel physically yet, but I was really praying. I wanted to, and a number of times I've asked the Lord, I want to see an angel. And the other day, I was just praying again, real, real seriously. I just want to see an angel, Lord. And it wasn't like a long time I said that. And I said to the angel, I hope you can talk to your angel. So I said, show yourself to me. I want to see an angel. I want to see one of you. Cause I was told that we all have two. So, when I was resting, my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I saw this face, and it was the angel. It was, I can't even explain. It was just so, so sudden. I just woke up and said, whoa, I know I just saw my angel, but the face was very shiny and very, very smooth, and a smile on his face. I couldn't see it physically with my eyes. I was in my mind. I saw the picture of it, like just appeared to me in the spirit or something. I thought, oh, well, that's nice, but I want to see you openly. So, anyway, I saw that. It was just real, a beautiful face. Of
the, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Praise amazing. God. Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Yep, back at it again. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't want to sound boastful because I can't do these things, right? I can't give myself a dream. I can't, you know, there's nothing I can do. It comes from the throne room. It comes from the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And y'all know what the word says, you know, man receive nothing when it first comes from heaven. So it really has nothing to do with me because it could be anybody. Really, it could. And I don't know. It's just I'm kind of humbled by it. But I actually had a dream. We were talking about seeing all those, you know, seeing the angels and Jesus. Now, I haven't seen that physically. But I did have a cool dream that I never mentioned other than to, like, Mariana in my book, you know, like, maybe the boys. But it's the first time me telling y'all. This is probably, man, just a few months ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was just in a room. Kind of like a just a small little room, and I'm on my knees and I look over and there's this glory there, this white light that's just, it's just too much to behold, man. What was God in the dream? It was actually him. This time I knew it. I've seen Jesus in dreams and I've talked to him. This was God, and I couldn't even place my eyes on it because it was too much, and I kind of got a corner peek of my vision, like through my peripheral, and I looked at him, and man, I just hit the ground. But it wasn't like a bad hit the ground. It was like a good one, like reverence and awe. And that was all it was. And it was cool because I hadn't seen that before. I've seen God come and talk to me in a different form of a person before. He's come to me in the form of David Hills, believe it or not, before, and give me a word. He read Matthew chapter 24 to me. Seriously. But now here's the thing. When he speaks, life happens. So in his words of reading Matthew 24, I got transported into Matthew 24 and see it. I got transported in another world in my dream and actually seen it all happen. I seen the skies go dark. I seen the people hate me. I seen to the right of me was a restaurant. To the left of me was a college, which that makes a lot of sense. You know, left-leaning colleges. Ahead of me was a bank, and directly ahead of that was a realtor office. And all those, you know, food industry, you know, universities, banking and real estate, you can see where it's going. Skies went gray. People wanted to kill me. They were just, we're all in a traffic jam and they just were cursing at me. Anyways, that was a cool dream. And, I just wanted to share. And then one more thing, I'll be done. You know, Pat mentioned the Tinkerbell thing, which reminded me of this. That I don't know how to explain it. I've explained it that way, but I don't really want to liken my dream in Jesus to what I've seen to Tinkerbell. It's just when he said that, I've said it before too. And I was like, I don't know how to explain it to somebody. But this is what I've told you all this one before, but it's just so cool. I tell you again, and I don't mean to throw out bad dreams that I had. Like, oh, Isaac got bad dreams. Look at him. I just don't mind to share because the Lord still gives them to me. And he also gives me good dreams. And I hope it's good for you guys, whatever it is. He chastises those who he loves. Anyways, when I first started coming into, so I just read, God's Vaccine in 2020, right when the pandemic was hitting. And, you know, I used to be a hypochondriac for that. I thought I was dying from everything. I was scared of everything. I don't know why. I just had a spirit of fear placed upon me. I read God's Vaccine and that spirit left me and I had boldness, but the Lord was dealing with me slowly and he was very long suffering with me in my struggles at that time. And, I was in a dream and I was in hell and I was on a steep cliff and it was real dark. For the sake of the dream, there was some type of light to see my surroundings. And these hills were jagged, mountains were jagged, very, very, very jagged and little bitty cliffs. And on this ledge with me and these cliffs was about 30 people, shackles in their hands and legs of me. And not to sound too graphic, but we're all naked and groaning in agony. Now these, I knew it in the dream that these mountains were sulfur. They were sulfur mountains. Okay. And so we're all shackled and we're the worst thing you can imagine. Either way. So I see this little speck of light, like Pat was talking about, this speck of light coming from my right, going in front of me, very, very small. And everybody, there's no knowledge there. We're all dumb. And the only thing we can do is moan in agony. And I see this little speck and I can hear all the commotion and people are like, oh, and just all these crazy noises and screaming. And as it gets closer, it's Jesus and he crosses in front of me and I take my shackled in the hands shackled to me, the other people's, and I reach out to Jesus and I literally felt my fingertips stretching for any hope whatsoever. I mean, this is it. If I don't get a hold of him, I'm done. This is my one chance. Just imagine, you can place yourself there. And I seen him and he walked out and he just floated across me and he went on the other side of the edge of the cliff where I couldn't see no more. And I screamed, Jesus, just everything that I possibly had, because this was it. And I screamed that name and the light stopped. It didn't get no further. And he seen the light turn around. Back on the other side of the cliff was Jesus. And he came to me and he grabbed me, pulled me by the chains, held on to me, and we just hugged each other the whole time, walked right in his arms. And that was my dream, man. And it was just so powerful.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for saving all of us. Praise the Lord. Well, we're out of time. We had a good time tonight. I did. Praise God. Lord, we bless everybody here with more dreams tonight. A closeness to you like we've never had before, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy upon us to do that, Lord. Put it in our heart to want to come boldly to you, Lord, and then just to sit down and talk to you and allow you to talk. A lot of times my mouth runs when it all shut up and listen. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in my heart and everybody else's heart that has that problem. It's just not to talk and just listen at times. And when you get through talking, just be quiet and listen. And know that God's He's going to answer you. And Father God, I praise you and glorify you that we're going to hear testimonies in the narrow little bit about our conversations with you, Lord. Now I ask that you place it in everybody's heart to spend some time with you. This guy would spend an hour and a half from 2 o'clock to 3:30 every night for a year before he ever saw anything. We want to see you in 5 minutes and thank you not listening. Lord, I just ask that you place it in our hearts to wait on you for whatever it takes. And I'm sure you will answer. I know you will. You did it for him, you'll do it for us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God that we do walk in a supernatural life. In a natural world. We thank you, Father, that you're doing a work in us to get us ready for this time, because it's going to take a lot of people to get the kingdom filled up. And I praise you for it, Father. Be with us till we meet again, Lord. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. And I ask that you bless them with these words of encouragement in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, Lord of God. And I thank you, Lord, that Katie comes out and there's not going to be anything wrong with her. They're not going to find nothing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Y'all be blessed, you hear?